Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Hard to believe it's already June, but it is here, and we're thankful for it, and we certainly pray that God is blessing you. And I know a lot of times we think about that. I know a lot of people that have gone through painful situations, painful things that we're praying for. And we know that even through the worst of times, though, when we have Christ, we have a joy that this world cannot take from us. And we're praying that God blesses you most of all. If you're lost, we pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look in the book of Revelation chapter 3 today, but before we do, we want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Father, you know the need of the hour better than we do. Help us, Father, to deliver your message in the power and demonstration of your Holy Spirit. Help us to stand, Father, by your grace. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come today, we're looking in the book of Revelation chapter 3, and we're picking up in verse 7. And in verse 7 it says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth." Now, he's talking here, and he says, you know, that he has this door, and he says, he's the one that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. You know, what God ordains and commands, it's just done. And there's nothing me, you, or anybody else can do about it. We don't have the authority to change the Word of God. We don't have the authority to change anything about God. There are many people that are prideful and arrogant and think they have that authority. And because they accomplish some things in this world, they say, look what we've done. Look what we've accomplished. You've done nothing. In all honesty, you've done nothing. Because you don't change what's settled in heaven. You don't change what God has ordained. If anything, people just condemn themselves with some of their own decisions of going against God. They harm themselves. And they harm others that they deceive. But as far as the work of God, the truth of God, the will of God, they've changed nothing. And even we as God's people need to remember that. He says, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." Now he talks to the church, and he says, "I know that you have some strength." And he even says, "little strength." And he says, "I know that you've kept my word," which is very important. Keeping the word of God's important. There's some people today that, you know, like to say, well, just sharing the gospel is important. The rest of it's not that important. Oh, yes, it is. It's very important. Keeping the word of God is. But not just part of the word or pieces of the word. All the word. He says, "You've kept my word and has not denied my name." And he says, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, are the people of God and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee." Again, it's good to be with God because he has control and power over all these things. Not going to go into the depth of that verse. But I want us to look back for just a moment before we read on. He says, he tells us here, that he has set before us an open door. This is an opportunity for people to be saved, an opportunity to work for God. And I want to ask us the question today, what are we as God's people doing with the open door that God has given us? Right now we have the opportunity to share the gospel with people. Right now we have the opportunity to live for God, to serve God, and to accomplish his will in all things. Question is, are we doing it? What are we doing with the open door that we have? And when I say that, trust me, I've got to ask myself the same question. I've got to look into the mirror and say, what am I doing with the time and opportunity that I have? And I've probably examined that as much in this past year as I have any time of my life. Not that I haven't done it before. I'm just saying I've put more thought into that. I've put more consideration into it. And I look at all the things that are going on in the world and many things fulfilling of Scripture. And I ask myself, what am I doing with my time? And if you find failure in me, that doesn't justify you. You find failure in somebody else, that still doesn't justify you. You can find failure with anybody. You can find failure with everybody if you want to. That doesn't justify your actions. I'll tell you where you won't find failure with, and that's with God. He's given people an opportunity right now to be saved. He's given people an opportunity to share the gospel. He's given the opportunity to His children to lay up treasure in heaven. We have an open door that's set before us right now. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? A lot of times we're consumed about what we can get and what we can do, instead about what God wants us to do. And God forgive us for that. God have mercy upon us for that. But it's getting worse, isn't it? You know, I'm not that old. I'll see 40 years old in a couple of months. But that's not that long. And I'll tell you what, a lot has changed just in my lifetime. Not for the better either. For the worse. We've become more sinful, more selfish. In so many ways, we've become so much more worldly. And yet, I can remember back in the 80s and 90s, good preachers, they were just overly burdened and concerned about the condition of the church. Men that have gone on to be with the Lord now. They were heavily burdened and concerned about how far the church had fallen away from what they should have been. And that was 20, 30 years ago. And we haven't gotten better, we've gotten worse. I'm not saying that to just try to cast stones or be cruel or anything. I hope it gets our attention. I hope it leads us to a revival state in our hearts and minds. But yet, you know, God has set an open door before us. I think that's representative of even Noah and the ark when God destroyed the earth the first time. When He destroyed it by water. You know, the door was open to the ark. And if anybody repented and wanted to come in, they could have. They could have been saved. They could have believed the preaching of Noah as he preached unto them, trusted, and been in the ark and been saved. Only 8 souls got on that ark. And who shut the door? God did. And when He shut it, He had to be the one to open it too, huh? He told them when it was time to open it. Dear friend, God's the one that opens and shuts the door. There is coming a time when there is no more opportunity to be saved. There is no more opportunity to work from God. Right now we've got an open door, and the question is, what are we doing with that opportunity? What are we doing with that open door that's set before us? God's got the victory for us. God's got everything that we need. What's wrong with the church is faith. We lack in faith, we lack in trusting, we lack in going forward, and we lack giving up what we want for what God wants. And I pray that you hear me when I say we. I see that in me sometimes. It might not be where everybody else can see it. It might not be some big thing, but I promise you, I see it within my own self. That I catch myself. And I catch myself being focused on what I want instead of what God wants. And it might be simple things. It might be simple things with family. It might be You know, simple things as far as just little things in this life, even fellowship with friends and things of this nature. But there are many times that we're focused on what we want instead of what God wants. And I believe many of you that are listening to me this morning that are born again believers, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you look into the mirror, you see that within yourself, don't you? We see our humanity. We see our failures. And sure, it's easy to find it in everybody else, but the first place we need to see it is within ourselves. Because we can't repent for somebody else, and we can't change anybody but ourselves. Right now, we have an open door. What are we doing with it? I'm going to say some things, and I pray that it's not taken the wrong way. I pray that it's not misinterpreted or misused. And my focus is not to focus on some of the things that I'll mention. I know some people, that's all they'll hear. But that's not my focus. I pray that you listen to my whole statement as God leads me to say some things. And I pray that you listen to everything I'm saying, not just a piece of it. Because I know that my words can easily be taken out of context and be misused. Church has become focused on itself. Just has. There used to be a time, and not too long ago, that men would go out from their communities and go to the next community and share the gospel and try to establish a church there. They didn't want to establish their church there. They wanted to establish a church of like faith, of the same belief, but they wanted that to eventually get to where it had its own pastor, its own business, and things to take care of. And when that church was established, they were hoping it would go on to the next community, and to the next community, and to the next community. Somewhere that stopped. Unless it's trying to war against the scriptures and create something that's not true. It seems like, for the most part, it stopped. I know it's not stopped completely. I know mission works that are going on. And I know other churches being established and things of this nature. But it's not like it used to be. That used to be the burden upon every church. Where is the next place that we need to look? But somewhere along the way, churches have become very introverted. And very selfish. And a good example of that, I said this at an association meeting years ago. And in our association meetings, we believe in the independence of each local body. We have no authority. Our association meets for one day of churches of like faith to encourage mission work. That's what it's for. No other purpose. It's for the fellowship of the churches. It's for the encouragement of the mission work. That's it. We have no authority over the individual local body. None whatsoever. We don't tell them where to send their mission money, who to support, who to send out, and all these different things. That is the authority of the church based upon Scripture. Associations have no authority over that. But nevertheless, I was at an association meeting and I tried to bring up a point. You know, a lot of churches were building fellowship halls, and I'm not getting into the discussion of fellowship halls. Please don't turn me off and on that. Just listen to what I'm saying, please. The statement that I made was this. I said, I've noticed some churches doing some building work. And I said, whenever we do something for ourselves, I said, I've seen $100,000 jobs completed in a year and totally paid for. And you know, you'll hear the preachers and you'll hear the church members and everybody, they're just bragging on it. And I understand that they're excited that they don't have the debt and they were able to do these things, and I will understand it. But you know, if you figure it up, say even $50,000, you'd have to do, you know, around almost $5,000 a month. $4,800, something like that. That's a lot of money. And again, I don't mind people having nice buildings and nice things. That's not the point. But what I noticed is I would see churches that were taking up all this money to build these nice things. And you know, you go to some churches and they show what they gave to the pastor and what they gave to the mission, all this other stuff. And what I started to notice is there were churches, giving, $4,000, $5,000 in a month's time for a building for their enjoyment. It wasn't to feed the hungry. It wasn't to be a shelter for people in time of need or things like that. It was for the church's entertainment. And you looked over at the mission offering. $300. $400. And what bothered me was not the amount of money that they took and used. And again, they have their authority. I'm not trying to just throw away churches. I'm trying to get to a spiritual point. When we're doing something for ourselves and what we want, it seems like the money can flow. But when it's to support mission work, and I wasn't even on the mission field at that time. I was pastoring a church at that time. I wasn't on the mission field. I wasn't doing mission work and things of that nature. As far as what would be traditionally called mission work. But you know, I looked at all that and it bothered me spiritually. I said, look at all this money being spent, but what's it being spent for? And I thought to myself, is God getting glory out of what we're doing? Because we've done it to consume upon our own desires and our own lust. Not to help others, not to go out into the community in our local areas, not for local missionaries, state missionaries, interstate missionaries, foreign missionaries, whatever it might be. And yet, there were missionaries at that time, even on the foreign field, that were getting very little support. And I was wondering how much prayer had gone into this. And what were we really sacrificing for? Were we sacrificing for our entertainment, for our enjoyment? Maybe to entertain the other people in the community that we wanted to come to church? But if sharing the gospel isn't the focus of the church, and that's not our main objective, is God getting the honor and glory for it? Again, we've got an open door. An open door has been set before us. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with the money that God has given us? What are we doing with the opportunities God has given us? What are we doing with the people that God has placed in front of us? Are we sharing the gospel with them, or are we showing them the world? Because right now we have an open door, but one day that door will be shut. And everything we've gained and everything we've done for ourselves, what will it be worth? Again, we have an open door. He said in verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come into all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I believe if we're not there, we're certainly entering that stage. I believe that time is upon us. He said, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. The crown is the reward. And you know who he put in charge of holding fast to what we have? Us. God gives us everything that we need, but it's our responsibility to hold on to his promises, to hold on to what he's given us, and to hold fast to it. What are we doing with it? As I study church history and look at myself, and I look back just 100 years ago, 150 years ago. How many preachers that are preaching today, and I know there's a difference in time. I'm not trying to cast stones. I'm really looking at myself. I hope you understand that. I'm trying to let this message be preached to me as much as to you. But I've wondered sometime within myself, 150 years ago, would I have been a preacher? Would I have been qualified? Would I have stood? I know the qualifications haven't changed. I understand that. I hope you know that I'm talking about thoughts that run through my head when I see my sin, when I see my selfishness. And it might be small things to some people, and people, you know, come up and tell you, oh, you're doing great, and you're doing wonderful, and you're this. They don't see what runs through my heart. They don't see what runs through my mind. And I'll tell you, I believe there's far better people that have come before me. I sit back sometimes and I look at the churches, and you study church history and the doctrines that the churches have held to and what they stood for. And you look how far that we've come in a short amount of time. 100 years, what is that? That's one person's lifetime. We think of it as some type of long time. That was 100 years ago, preacher. That was a blink of an eye. It was a vapor. That's all it was. It's nothing. And look how much doctrine has flooded out of churches. Look how many things are not preached. And in fact, you'll be called a legalist if you do preach. But it's plain Scripture. Plain Scripture. And there's people today saying, preacher, should we still hold to this? Preacher, should we still do this? And I'm telling them, if it's Bible, you better hold to it. If it's the Word of God, you better hold fast to it. Because your reward is determined upon it. There are some good churches still around. I know several. I get the honor and privilege of getting to preach at some of the best people I've ever met in my life. At so many different places and churches that I've had the opportunity to preach at since I've announced my call to preach. I know I haven't just kept count, but the last time I ran through my books and checked at all the places that I've gone, I know it's over 150 churches. I don't know if it's up to 200 yet or not. At places that God has given me an opportunity to preach at, and just wonderful people. But as much as I could say that they're wonderful people, that doesn't mean they're without sin. It doesn't mean that they don't need to repent. It doesn't mean that they haven't got ensnared by the things of the world and that they need to let go of some things and be a soldier for Christ. A lot of people are letting this world steal their crown. They're letting the religious world steal their crown. And they're throwing away treasures that they could lay up in heaven. They're missing opportunities while the door is open. He says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, in the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. A lot of people don't study about the judgment to come, even for saved people. But it's a very special honor if you never have to leave New Jerusalem. That means you dwell there, you live there. There's some that are allowed to come in and out, and some only dwell in the light of that city if you study it out in the Scriptures. Oh, there's a difference in reward in heaven. What would it be like to get into heaven, and for all eternity you can never go into that beautiful city what will it be like? Or if you get to go into that city and see those things, and then they say, now you dwell somewhere else, you're not allowed to live here. Some who won't go out, they'll be a pillar in that city. To him that overcometh, to him that serves God, to him that overcomes temptation, to he that denies himself and follows the Lord after he's trusted in Christ. It's not for salvation. We don't work for salvation. We work because we are saved. But that determines our crown, our reward. What are we doing while there's an open door? Are we pointing souls to Christ? Are we standing for God? Are we standing for ourselves? What are we doing? He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Are we listening? Are we paying attention? Do we have our ears open? Are we looking out at somebody else and saying, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be like this. And I don't want to be like that. And I don't want to be called a traditionalist. And I don't want to be called a legalist. And I don't want to deal with people calling me names and all this other stuff. Are we saying, I don't care what they call me as long as I'm serving God? Which one is it? There's over 7 billion people on the face of this earth. The vast majority right now are on the road to hell because they've never trusted in Christ. What's the church doing about it? Are we focusing on them or are we focusing on us? It's good to focus on our works because by our works they know that we are the children of God. How we live and how we conduct our life is a reflection of the salvation we have in Christ. And if we're not a new creature in Christ Jesus, if we're following our same lusts and our same desires and we're griping when the preacher preaches something straight from the Bible and says, oh, that's old-fashioned, that's legalistic, that's this, that's that. You can go that route if you want to. But all the Word of God is profitable. And it was given to us for a reason. And if God says, don't do something, guess what we should do? Obey. And not do it. If God said, do something, guess what we should do? We should do it wholeheartedly. If God calls something sin, we should call it sin. If God tells us to forgive, we should forgive. Whatever God has commanded, whatever God has given us, we need to hold fast to His Word, preach the truth, stand on the truth, live the truth, share the truth. Are we doing it? Are we just saying, I'll make the best of this while the door is open? I'll do whatever I want while the door is open. We need to be careful. One day the door is going to be shut. And we can't come back and change a single thing. And whatever we've done down here, it'll go with us into all eternity. If a person's trusted Christ, they're saved. If they've not trusted Christ, they'll lift their eyes in hell and be cast into the lake of fire. If they are saved and they've served the Lord and they've forsaken themselves and followed God, denied themselves and followed the Lord, they'll lay up treasure in heaven. If they trusted in Christ and then they live for themselves, they'll still be saved, yet so as by fire. But all their works will burn and they'll have nothing. They'll still be saved. No reward. I pray that this opens our mind. I pray that it leads us to repent and think about the opportunity we have right now. As we have an open door and the lost souls around us have an open door, what are we doing with the opportunity that God has given us? This is the burden that God has given us. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory for the good that is accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.